On still through Ben Rev, right?
I have no idea whether Ben Rev is still open. Well, yeah, okay. Well, hold on. Let me start the show. Let's give this count around.
3, 2, 1.
Bam.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Hey, guys, it's Flying Rich here, and I just like to get a little on my tongue.
Pizza, pizza.
Showtime! While you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a link it bad. For the streaming, go direct to DLNGS.org. And IC channel is a linuxtech.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 829 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Happy October.
We have Joel.
Yo.
We have Joe.
Hello.
Yeah. Okay, so to answer your question, Joel and Joe, yes, we do have a stream still. But we don't have any mirrors right now. Because, wait, maybe we do have some mirrors. I don't know which mirrors are still up. The main mirror that we used to have, I wasn't getting much out of it, and that was the Tektronix one, so we just let that go away. So there's other, I think there's two other mirrors, but the main one works also. And
I think our website needs updated because none of them are working.
Well, then that would probably mean that the mirrors aren't working. You'd have to go to, yeah, so technically it still does. Most of the people that would listen would come in and listen in the
mumble anyway,
these days,
yeah,
that would listen live. So there is that. But, yeah, it's still there. And I know that people come in and listen to it because sometimes they'll get messages if I'm not paying attention and it's not up and running.
We have pizza in the listening booth right now, so that's good. So we're earlier,
and then
in the pre-show.
Yeah. So getting back to like the pre-show, last thing going in reverse back to the awesome things. But yeah, so talking about how to copy content up to an S3 bucket, like, how could you interact with an S3 bucket? And so if you're in AWS and you have an instance in AWS, you can mount that S3 bucket. But if you're talking about like through scripts or scripting languages, not necessarily through an instance up in AWS, you could use the AWS tools, which has the S3 copy. So Joe, you had asked whether you could SCP stuff to an Amazon bucket, and the answer is yes. But then we're also wondering whether you can mount an S3 bucket on your laptop or whatever. If, you know, how would you do that? And so there is a fuse module for doing that, and you can. I was just wondering if there was network firewall rules in place by default that might not permit you to mount it that way, but I guess that's not the case. Anybody else have anything to add on to that?
Nope, not at this point. Right, yeah, now, so I'm most interested in getting it working with, specifically with PowerShell. I think the Linux one we have may are, because some of the Linux scripts that we have to do similar things on our Linux hosts, I think they're already written. I think I'm writing a lot of the Windows ones for our cloud team, just so that. And the basic goal is we want to have a certain directory backed up on a daily basis, and then that way, when we go to do clones, actually not we, as in my team on this side of the pond, but our team in Bangalore, they'll be the ones handling the clones, so that basically all we got to do is verify in the morning once they're done. once we do our handoff. We hand off with the Bangalore support team at noon. So that then we become the on-call at that point. So
I'm curious about something.
We're trying to make it all so that all the stuff that has to happen after hours is done by the India team.
So I'm curious about something on that, Joel.
Yes, sir.
So first of all, I will say, doing that in Linux to an S3 bucket, copying stuff up, is so easy. It's a piece of cake. Yeah, we do it all the time. I do it for backing up and stuff like that. We built scripts around doing that. Really easy. I've never done it with PowerShell, but I'm pretty sure it's not that much more difficult. But I'm curious, like, what is it that you're transferring? Like, what is it you're backing up or archiving to blow out, to clone out to other things?
So basically, what we have a directory called app home, and that in the Windows host, that is basically our application's binaries, and on the Linux host, it happens to be the binaries plus the actual data, as in the registration data, payroll, stuff like that. All right. So we'll copy it over to a temporary space, and I've done that with PowerShell script. That's easy. And then the next phase is I send the next command will actually take that directory and zip it. And then the next command after that clears that directory. And then I have it all working on local storage. Basically, I have the next command is like a maintenance command. Use the GCI command in PowerShell that basically gets a list of all the files, specific files, specific zip files, and have a log file that I create too with the script. And basically, it will keep. Right now, I have it set to keep like the last 7, but I'm gonna probably reduce that so it keeps the 1. But before it does the maintenance script, I want to actually copy the old ones up to the S3 bucket so that we can go back and get them. So, and the whole goal is so that when it's time for our clients to do a clone, we tell our DBAs, hey, restore the database here at this with this date timestamp, make it as of this date and time. And then we grab the binaries, and then we can clone the environment without actually having them take an actual outage of the application.
So one of the questions I had, and you kind of answered it most of the way. Like, I was curious about how you could then run the application after you drop it down there. So on the Linux side, it's pretty much all into that location, right? You drop it down there, and it's ready to go and run right out of the box. You don't have to do anything else, correct?
Well, in our case, you would. You'd have to actually run the clone command so that basically would actually create the environment, so then you can connect the applications to it. And in our case, since we're 99.9% of the time when we do a clone, we're cloning to... basically, we're deleting the old version of the old environment with the same name. We're deleting, and then we're taking the production data, production binaries, and then cloning it to the same old name. So that way, part of the thing I'm doing is I'm also documenting what we have to add to production so that when we do these clones, that the other satellite things, we have a Tomcat's website, we have a UI website running on IIS and a few other things. We want all those to basically just connect without having to do a whole lot of work. So so that's big part of the project I'm doing. And none of this is rocket science. It's just making sure that we do it.
Well, I want to clarify with you, when you say you clone it down onto a system, you're just cloning that application directory onto that, right?
Basically, yes, onto existing servers.
And then in the Linux side of things, all you have to do is just run that application then, right? and you're good to go?
No, you still have to do the clone. You still have to actually run our proprietary software to basically set the environment up. But that's about it. I mean, it's not that difficult.
Oh, because I thought you said all the data and configuration was already in there in the clone on the Linux side.
Yep. Well, on the Linux side, in a Linux version of our product, we have the data and the code lives in the same directory. In the SQL version, it lives in the directory plus a SQL database.
Right, so, but on the Linux side of things, when you drop it down, you still have to run the configuration.
Yes.
It's not already, because I thought you meant that the data and all that stuff is right there and it's already configured.
Yep. Yeah, that's because our product, we have a database we call the local product repository, which that keeps track of which environments has what software updates, and the listeners for the application, and basically all the information about the application. It's kind of like our versioning system, sort of, but it's really kind of much more than that. So keeps track of everything in the application. So, you know, the only thing that database has in it is basically configuration data as well as the actual code. So any code from the very beginning of Colleague all the way up to current day is stored in there, and every version of it too. So if you have if you made five different updates to a specific program, it has all five of those. Now, you can only install the latest version usually into the environments, but that's the reason why we have to actually run an application, a wizard, to actually complete the clone so that the LPR knows about it.
Okay. So when you say it's the same thing for like the Windows side or the Linux side.
Mm-hmm.
You're dropping your application on there, then you still got to run the wizard to configure it, and once that's done, it's good to go. Okay,
Yeah. Well, that's kind of like the ultimate goal, is we want to be able to basically run the clone wizard and have very little to do afterwards. We'll still have some minor things to do, like we'll have to change some values from production values to test values, so that, for example, that when you go to test a payment on the test system, it doesn't actually charge somebody's card. It goes to a test e-commerce solution. So, Those things are minor. We're just front loading all that. Because see, we can put all the definitions for test into production, and they'll just sit there. It's just data. So I mean, it just sits there, and it doesn't actually get used until you clone it, until you have the certain listeners on the certain ports on the test server, and then that way the web pieces just connect to it. So. Not a lot, and the other big thing that I'm working on, I mean, this is all basically part of a overarching project to help automate a lot of these things. Certain things we can't automate, but we're going to try to automate things as much as possible. Our application really isn't what I would say cloud aware, like some applications are. It's not as simple as like, for example, as pushing a Docker container around. You know, it's not that simple. It's doing those things. You know, we can't just like write a chef a recipe to make it all happen. That's just not in the cards, at least at this point.
Got it.
More fun things, though.
Yeah. Now, did we want to touch anything back about the note?
Yep. Yeah, I was talking about what I think I'm probably going to do next week, and I'm going to wait until Google's Pixel announcement, because I want to see if a Pixel is still in the cards for me. My Pixel 2, is the back camera is pretty much shot. It takes like a normal, like a, just like a, you know, like, say from about 5-6 feet onward, like, so, you know, say if I'm taking, like, a landscape or, like, a picture of a car I'm standing in front of, that works out just fine. But if I try and take a picture of, say, something I'm holding in my hand or scan a barcode, the camera on the back is pretty much not working for me. And since I use the barcode scanning a lot, and if you go to Sam's Club and your club supports it, do scan and go. Please do scan and go. Because basically it's very very much time saving. It's like kind of like self-service checkout on steroids. So if you have a problem with self-service checkouts, well, you know, I can't help you on that, but I like it. So next week I'm going to be upgrading to a phone, unless for some dumb reason the 4XLs are available next week. But I'm probably going to go with a Note 10 Plus. 5G version, actually. And one of the things we were talking about on the show, one of the things that a lot of the Galaxy phones, from you know, like the S9 all the way up to the Notes, they have a full screen Android environment called DeX. And it used to be you had to buy, I think you used to have to buy a special dock, correct, Joe?
They got them.
They got them. Now, nowadays, really, all you have to buy is
How long ago were you talking about this and requiring a special dock?
Like probably that when they first came out with DeX, it was a special dock that you had to buy.
How long ago was that?
A year or two ago.
Oh, a year or two. Wasn't pretty much everything standardized on USB-C a year or two ago on USB or USB-C?
I think it was the S9 that had the first version of DeX. Sorry
right.
about that. I had to step away for a second.
And did it require a proprietary...
It did. It required Samsung's dock at the time. But later on, they released an update and let you do it with any connector.
Right. Right. You can get like a USB hub that has HDMI and USB ports built into it. And then you plug it into like a TV or a monitor and you can basically essentially get a full on desktop. And you use the apps just like you would if you're sitting at a computer. All right.
With a couple of small caveats.
Right.
I mean, you can't have more than 5 applications loaded at the same time, and not every application will work. And
of course,
of the applications that do work, not all of them will properly scale.
Okay, and that totally makes sense because that sounds so much like Android. So like for example, I can buy on Amazon. I found a 2-point USB-C hub with HDMI Ethernet adapter and basically a full-on thing for about $37. There's a couple other ones that are a little bit cheaper. Joe sent me one of like $13 or $14, which isn't too bad. It's in one of those cases where I might buy one or two of them and then set up a monitor and keyboard and mouse, because it does support mice too, like in my office or something. But it actually kind of goes even further where they've also brought out a Windows or Mac OS based application. So basically you just plug in a USB cable to your laptop or to a desktop that has Windows or Mac on it, and you basically have a window with the same kind of desktop in it. The one kind of important thing with that is you can actually drag pictures and stuff that are on your phone off of the window onto your desktop. So
right. And so, we were discussing other applications that did similar things, and we mentioned Visor and AirDroid.
Yep, AirDroid's one I've used in the past. That one.
AirDroid does it over a web browser, correct?
Correct. Correct.
I love AirDroid. That is
technically great. Visor does the exact same thing. I mean, it's a Chrome extension that you put on Linux.
Correct. So,
really?
You could also wait for it to upload to Google Photos And depending on what it is, you can probably get it full res. Like pictures, you probably get full resolution, but videos, you might not be able to.
Right. Well, you can also set up Resilio Sync for that type of thing. Or any sync application. Next Cloud, Own Cloud. Sync thing.
And they also, on some of the older devices, they also supported basically a full Linux environment on top of the DeX.
Yeah, the Linux on DeX, but they're not currently supporting that. There's not a version of it available yet. Not saying they won't in the future, for the Note 10s.
And judging by what is supported by Linux on DeX, for example, my son's phone is supported on Linux on DeX, the S10 5G, so it's probably just a matter of time.
Yeah, but they haven't updated the version of Linux for that. I think it's still like 16.04 that's the official supported version.
Ew. Okay.
Dun, dun, dun.
And then I tried and Linux, but I just couldn't get around the limitations on permissions.
Yeah, it's Ubuntu 16.04 provided by Samsung. Linux on DeX beta is Linux on DeX is actually technically beta anyway, so.
Right. I'm just hoping somebody else comes out with something better.
Yeah, maybe Librem or Purism. On the Purism phones. Yeah. There's nothing really close to what MAMO was back in the day, where it's essentially a full-up Linux system, running X and all that stuff. MAMO was cool. In fact, if I had the ability to run an N900 on Verizon, I probably would still. Although I will say this, the N900 would be god awful slow compared to anything modern.
Right. That's the problem. It's aging.
Not just aging, you just can't get updates for it anymore. And in fact, I've even tried to find alternatives. Like, there used to be a MIR, Linux MIR, which is an alternative to MAMO, and it doesn't really exist anymore.
Yeah, well, Sailfish is still out there.
Yeah. Yeah. An Ubuntu phone is essentially dead.
What was it they changed their name to?
What, Ubuntu phone or?
Ubuntu Touch. Somebody else picked it up.
Really good question. Actually, I wasn't aware of that actually.
UB ports.
Now, actually, I don't get this. Say the Ubuntu Touch original release date was January 2nd, 2013. This is final release OTA 10, which is Ubuntu 16.04, as of the 21st of August, 2019.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Well, according to I thought Ubuntu Touch was essentially dead, but I'm seeing that they just aren't really. Yeah.
It's community based now, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
They're not. It's no longer under Canonical. Yeah. It's just, I guess somebody's keeping it alive.
Yeah, it's actually the same problem, though, with it, that basically straight up Linux phone based devices like the MAMO had, whereas if you are on any other carrier that doesn't support lottery's done GSM carriers like AT&T and T-Mobile, You can probably get it to run here in the States. Even that might be a problem, though. I have tried it. It runs Ubuntu Touch ran on my Nexus 7. And need a lot of work. Wasn't quite there yet. And another important thing, the Pinebook Pro has been shipping.
Anybody got one yet?
I don't know. Rich isn't on. Well, somebody has one on YouTube.
Somebody always has one on YouTube.
So, I have a question. Oh, shit. Is that how it's done? So, have you ever used Visor before?
I have, yes.
So, it's not like AirDroid, is it?
No. No, it's basically just screen mirroring with Visor.
Okay, because all right. Because I was like, wait a second. Like, AirDroid would connect over an IP, and I was like, I want to check out Visor. And I had to run away. Oh, that didn't look good. I had to run up to get my phone, so I forgot to bring it down, so I missed some of the stuff. But I'm, like, looking at this, and... Yeah, it requires you to connect it with the USB cable.
Right.
Interesting.
And you have to have the Visor extension installed on Chrome.
Right. That's what I was playing. It was easy to get that, but we shall see. Interesting. It already crashed on me, but what are you gonna do?
Yeah. I haven't used it in 6 or 8 months. Just because it interferes with Easy Tether.
Oh, man. So... Ay-yi-yi. So it... Why am I...
And I don't know if you can drag and drop with it, but I don't think so.
Dadgummit.
I'm going to find out in a minute.
Yeah, the Pinebook Pro is actually out of stock, too, right now.
Yeah, well, are they shipping the Pine phones yet?
It's a good question. I don't think so.
And everybody's been talking about that Pine watch.
Yeah, there's been a lot of people talking about it.
A $25 or Linux-based smartwatch? Yeah.
Yeah, that's about the only thing that's attractive about to me is the price. I think it's because there's certain things. That, now, granted, I understand. I'm a Google idiot. I don't mind. Google has all my information anyway, so I use Google Fit quite a bit. And to me, a watch has to do that, at least.
Or something similar.
Or something similar, yes.
Yeah, but my major issue with it, and I know I've mentioned it before on... I don't know if I've mentioned it on this show, but on other shows at least, is that if you read through the write-up for that watch, it is designed to work with Linux phones. So does that mean it's not designed to work with Linux
Android
desktops?
Or the Android or desktops, yeah.
Right. Well, you know, if it only worked with Linux systems, that'd still be fine. You know, let it link up to my Linux tablet. And just dump the information off when I walk by it, or my Linux laptop.
Right. Well, then in my other side of that coin, too, now I don't currently I don't think we have the ability to, well, some insurance plans will want to, like, you can link up like Fitbit or others and you get a discount if you walk so much or do so much, you know. And I seriously doubt the Pine Watch will do that. But
yeah, well, at least not at first.
Right.
And probably not ever since, you know, Linux is eminently hackable. I can make it look like I walked 1 million steps every day.
I gotta give credit to Visor. It works pretty well. You can watch videos over it if you wanted to.
Yeah, but I don't think it does sound over it, does it?
I don't know. You know what? That's a good question. Let me find a video I know has sound. Play Life in Ohio, right?
Yes, I have sound.
But let me just pull up a YouTube video. It's going to be hard to tell, though. I worry it's going to be hard to tell, because if the sound is coming over the phone.
Now, the September update on the Pine phone was that the phone is real and shipping soon. But that's all I've seen on it.
FedEx and UPS, two very similar companies that will get your package where it needs to go.
I see.
UPS and All In on their slogan, "What can Brown do?"
You know what? I bet you. I'll bet you when I set the visor up, the audio is going to the microphone. Well, where is it? I don't even see it.
Pinephone is $150 and up for pre-order right now still.
You gonna get one?
Doubtful, because I couldn't make it work with Verizon.
Yeah, but they're what, $125?
$150.
It's still not a bad price.
No, it's not. But I would probably buy a tablet.
Yeah. No, I still worry about the shipping date. I don't know how far out it would be if you ordered one. But if you got it by next year and it's already still, I think it's what, 2 year old hardware that they're shipping out now.
Yeah, and that's a problem.
So you'll be paying $150 for 3 year old hardware.
Yeah. Not happening.
Oh, guess what, Joe?
What?
Sound doesn't go over the cable. Yeah, I kind of figured that.
Hey! How dare you? Wrong. Yeah. There's a button here that says mute phone and mirror audio, but it only works in the pro version. So you got
to
pay for it.
Oh, you have to pay for it? That's what Bluetooth is for.
Yeah, but I'm very impressed with Visor. That was pretty cool.
Yep, that's why one of my favorite things I like to do with my my Roku box is have that Roku app on my phone, and I can watch TV, attach my Bluetooth headphones to my phone, and then have it pipe the TV audio to my phone, and then you don't hear the TV in the room.
You know what I like to do is I like to lay down in the living room and
watch porn.
No. When my wife and daughter are upstairs in the bedroom where the TV is, I'll start messing with the remote.
Oh, there you go.
I'll connect to it on my phone and start messing with it and stuff. And they're like, what's going on? It's going wacky. Maybe we should turn it off, start it, restart it. they're trying to figure out what the problem is.
Dan's downstairs. He fires up the app. He hits the home button. The TV upstairs freaks out.
Yeah.
No, when I'm at work, I like to set up my VNC to home, or no, VPN to home, and mess with the dots in the house.
There you go. That's another plan. I used to do that with just like hooking up speakers and then like SSHing in and running speech commands and stuff.
See, there, but yeah, here's what you do.
Dots,
Dan,
would be awesome.
You get a Raspberry Pi and a small little speaker, stuff it behind a plant, you know, with a battery pack and all that, and then you start making it fart.
Have it moan and make weird noises.
There you go.
Call people name.
Or you can say, you can
so what do you do with
tease your daughter?
What do you do with your dots, Joe? Like, what do you do to your family with the dots?
Oh, you know, just make random music start playing, randomly turn on and off lights in the house.
And when you come
random
home, you get a call and they're like, "Oh, something's wrong."
Yeah, no, I haven't done it in a while, but yeah, with the random drop-ins, the wife started talking to the dot, and I started talking back.
You know, one thing I wish
was it your
give
voice coming
looks.
Over it. Was it your voice coming over it?
Yeah, yeah, it was
oh,
just a, you
oh,
drop in on the dot.
It out, huh?
There you go. Now, one thing I wish I could do with the dot is disable things like ask for a fart permanently, so that it can never be enabled unless you have to hit a code. Because my son, even though he's 20 years old, he likes to ask it fart all the time. I'm like, dude, that was like funny 5 years ago.
Now it's funny because it pisses you off.
Well, there is that. Or you can ask Google to burp too.
You know what you should do? You probably like cure that. It's just you and your wife just keep asking it for farts and burps all day long when he's around it. He gets sick of it, right?
My son would never get sick of that.
Would
he would think
that
that's freaking hilarious.
Yeah, I find it funny too.
I'd just put my headphones on.
That's what I do usually. See, what I need to do is I need to like invent a screen that I can just hang over my office door and press a button from my desktop that says "Don't friggin' knock" because I'm in a call or something.
You can make that. I mean, it's as simple as a stoplight.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Or just, oh no, what I need to do is I need to get one of them Wi-Fi powered locks, and then I can just attach that to my office door. Because that would be the only door. I would never put it on the outside of a house. That,
right,
that's just
right.
Dumb.
Too insecure.
But then that way I can press a button from my desk and not have, I mean, I don't have to get that far up to lock the door anyway, but you know, so far it's not caused too much of a problem. I usually, if I want, although she's like, "Wait," I'm like, "I'm in a freaking call. Leave me alone." You know, I say that after I mute my microphone, of course. But she's like, "Well, you don't have to yell. I'm on a fucking work call.
Oh,
leave
my
me
goodness.
Alone."
Language.
Okay, since when have we worried about language on the show? Ever?
Scared with that kind of language.
Have you ever tried the Pocky One Chip Challenge?
What's that?
No. Why would I try and torture myself that way?
Well, this year's version looks like it. I think it was all the year's versions. It's basically one chip that the flavoring is Carolina Reaper.
Well, wait. So what? It's a Pocky that's flavored with Carolina
Reaper.
And so you got to eat one of those.
Yep.
Why do they call it chip? One chip challenge.
Because it's a single serving.
That's all that's in the box.
Chip, and that's all you get.
Oh, they call those chips. I thought like the it was just like Pocky was like, there's Pocky, you have one stick, or there's Pocky, which is also either singular.
Pocky, different spelling.
Well, oh, we're talking about a potato chip?
Yes.
A tortilla chip.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Pocky.
The sweet sticks.
Yeah. You know, yeah, Pocky.
That's something else.
The Japanese.
I think it's Pokey.
I thought it was Pocky. Everybody I know calls it Pocky.
I don't know.
Okay, I see what you're... So you're talking about a chip called... Have you ever had it? Has anybody had it?
I'm chicken.
Why? What are you chicken for?
Because I like having my taste buds.
Oh, it's Pocky like Taki.
Correct. P-A-Q-U-I. I just put the link in there in the IRC, or Mumble chat. And according to their website, they're sold out, but you'll probably find it at a store right now.
I've never seen that brand of potato chip in a store.
Really?
I don't think I have.
I've had the regular ones. The regular ones are pretty decent, actually.
Huh. Now, which is the one? Inside one deadly black tortilla. How much are they charging for one tortilla chip?
I think it's like $5, if I remember right.
Holy mackerel.
It's a blue corn, sunflower, and sapphire oil, Carolina Reaper pepper, scorpion chili pepper, sea salt, activated charcoal powder, and chipotle pepper powder.
Man, that is genius. Take a bag of chips, like, for 99 cents, you probably get, like, how many tortilla chips are in, like, one of those, like, little bags that you buy for, like, a buck? It
doesn't matter a whole lot if you're selling them for $5 each.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You take one of those bags and have, like, let's say five or six chips in. Let's say six chips. That's $30 right there. Instead of $1, you're making $30, and people are buying it.
Actually,
and videotaping themselves.
It might be worse. I think it's actually $24.
$24 for one chip?
Seriously.
That's insane. That is like... I mean, I guess good on them if they have a lot of people buying it, but I can't see... So you know that goes into like... Like, it just blows me away. So the people that are doing it on YouTube have, like, a YouTube channel with subscribers and get revenue and stuff. Like, it blows me away, like, how much revenue some people get for, like, shit like that. You know what I mean?
Or like there's a channel called...
Did I miss the boat?
There's a channel called Reckless Eating where like they'll like one of the shows they do is called Blender, so they'll buy like all the flavors of like an energy drink like Bang, and then they'll blend it together and taste it, see what it tastes like, or like they'll blend all the different Cheetah stupid shit, you know, or he'll go to like Hardee's and try whatever the latest thing is in his car, you know. And now granted, I will say this, they pretty much, a lot of these channels, like I know Reckless Eating is for the most part demonetized for the most part. I mean, I think they still get a little bit of revenue from YouTube, but not as much as they used to. And a lot of these channels now depend on Patreon.
Yeah, good on them, though.
Or then you got the Wolf Pit. Did you see the pumpkin spice spam one?
So
I think I just threw up a little bit. Say that again.
Yeah.
Pumpkin spice spam. Yeah.
I was debating whether to watch it. My wife was like, absolutely not. I do not want to see that. It looks disgusting. So I didn't watch it.
So what the Wolf Pit did is he has a thing he does with spam, and he tried it with the pumpkin spice spam, and he said it was really good. But he candies the spam. Basically, he dices the Spam up when he's cooking it, and then like right before he cooks it, he'll throw in like a handful of brown sugar and then just stir it around, you know, keep stirring it so it doesn't burn. Okay, but then what he did with the pumpkin spice Spam is he took that and he mixed it into a pumpkin spice cheesecake. I'd try it once. But Wolf Pitts turned me into an air fryer fan, especially since I got one, man.
I love it when he says he's going to cook in the oven and he whips out the air fryer for all the air fryer haters.
You know what? I bought a pack of those chicken patties, you know, the ones that are pretty much already cooked, the ones you normally like, either microwave them or put them in the oven. And I threw those on a rack, like, for lunch. And about 20 minutes later, and it comes out, and it's crispy and fairly juicy. I mean, it's not as juicy as the sandwich I ate from Chick-fil-A today, but for something you made at home that was already pre-cooked, not too bad. There was some pickles and mayo on it, and I got a simple, nice, simple chicken sandwich. I've done that. I've done, I got some crab rangoons from Sam's Club, you know, the ones that are frozen, and those worked well in there too. Cooked them a little long. Some of the cheese and crab mixture started coming out of them.
See, I don't know. Spam, pumpkin pie, cheesecake.
Yeah. Well, that stuff seems. I'm surprised that pumpkin spice Spam sold out like instantly.
I don't quite get the appeal of putting pumpkin spice in everything.
Well, yeah, it just depends what it's in. Like coffee creamer, that makes sense. Maybe a cookie or something, that makes sense too. But pumpkin spice potato chips and stuff like that I've seen over the years, no.
I mean, I guess if you like pumpkin spice really that much.
And essentially you're talking what? Cinnamon, nutmeg, clove, what else?
Isn't allspice in it?
Or is allspice. It allspice, yeah. That's basically it. There's no real pumpkin in any of it.
Well, I mean,
it's your traditional pumpkin pie spices.
Yeah, it's for spicing up pumpkin. So it's got cinnamon, nutmeg, ginger, cloves. Is that it? Cinnamon, nutmeg, and ginger, clove? I thought allspice
and ginger
in
too. Yeah. But yeah, I mean that's it, and it's really honestly when I make a I'll tell you this, when I make a pumpkin pie at home, the only spice I actually put in it is cinnamon because, dude, I actually like the taste of pumpkin by its own, on its own. You know what I mean? But that's like next Friday's. I don't know. I'm planning on going down to Pumpkin Show. I haven't heard from my boss, my new boss, I should say, if my new vacation was. I thought, I don't know what's going on. Like, I emailed him like 2 weeks ago. I said, you know, hey, this is my upcoming vacation from now until the end of the year. This is what I want. And I haven't heard anything back.
So I guess that's a no. No,
I hope not.
You know what? I put in vacation like back in August.
July.
Next week of in October. And it just got approved like the other day.
Wow.
They're like at our stand up, like, who's going to be out in the next sprint? I'm like, I'll be gone a week. So, and they're like, and then after I said that, then like my vacation got approved. I'm like, oh, look at that. I was like, wait a minute, I better make sure I put it in. And I'm like, I double checked because it was there. Oh, speaking of that, I won't be here next week. So somebody else got to record.
Uh-huh. But yeah, Pumpkin Joe's the thing. We've been. My wife never missed it ever, since she was probably before she was born. Her mom probably walked the pumpkin show, when she was pregnant, but, I like going down there. You know, there's we used to, when Luke was little, we'd put him on the carnival rides and stuff. We don't do that anymore. We just go down there to eat.
He can get on himself now, right?
Well, if he wants to, yeah, but he don't even want to do that anymore. He just wants to go down there and eat. Now, I said my favorite thing down there, which I don't usually get because the line is just so freaking ridiculous usually, is there's a bakery called Lindsay's Bakery. Local bakery. It's not a chain or nothing. They make pumpkin donuts. And the week of pumpkin show, whenever you go, first off, the line is crazy. You know, it's always, you know, around the block, okay? But by the time you walk out of there, you know, after you buy your like half dozen of donuts, if you have the bag of donuts in your hand, you can actually feel the warmth from the donuts. They're still hot. Not hot, but warm, you know what I mean? And they're the best.
I know how that is, because like when I have to take my dog for a walk and pick up his shit, I can feel the warmth through the bag on that too.
But yeah, but it's like it's like when you see the hot now sign at the Krispy Kreme, except better, because they actually taste better than any shit that Krispy Kreme has.
I love going on rides at a fair or an amusement park. Now, people generally, like some people say, they are unsafe at fairs, and
they are.
It always happens, you know, there's always that. It doesn't happen a lot, but it happens enough to get people worried. But I'll tell you what, I love roller coasters. I love, you know, the things that the tower rides that take you up and drop you down. I like things that, like, maybe rotate a little bit, but if it spins in a circle too fast anymore, like a tilt-a-whirl or the teacup or something like that. Boy, that starts to really mess with my inner ear so much more than I used to, because getting old sucks. Right, Joe?
Does, getting old, man. Indeed sucks. It's just, you know, better than the alternative.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is.
Of course.
But, yeah, I miss like really hardcore spinning rides. They're hard to go on these days.
Well, and then you know, back when we were kids, you know, if you whack your knee against the side of the whatever you're riding in, it wouldn't faze you. But nowadays, dude, you get up and you're like, ugh.
You're sore the next day.
Ugh. We sound old.
Yes. But yeah, taking some of those bumps on, like, so when we were in Brigantine, there's a place called Storybook Land, which is just an amusement park that caters to little kids, like from ages 4 all the way up to, or 3 or 4 all the way up to like 13 or 14. That's the ideal age range, right? And the rides are cool, because you can go on pretty much all of them as an adult too. And they have this like little roller coaster there that it jerks you around just enough that you're at that size and age, like I'm at the size and age where, yeah, I like used to like have my hands up in the air and not hold on and just let it get bounce you around a little bit. Now it really hurts when it does that. It hurts, Joe. It hurts.
It's doesn't same everything thing, hurt though?
Sometimes
it's same yeah. things when you go to eat certain things, like if you go make that trip to White Castle's, dude.
You got to know that 15th slider is going to mess with you.
The 15th?
15th, please. The 5th. Yeah, friend of mine from up here, he just posted a picture of the stack of empty slider boxes. And he wrote, "Dear coworkers, I'm sorry."
That's harsh.
Oh, it is, dude. Or now you've tried the double hot, Dan, but I've got some of the single hots. I got 3 packs of those left up here. I have not fired those up and cooked those, because the last when I ate the first one and the second and the twice hots, I was feeling sorry the next morning, dude. Oh.
You get used to that, man. You just got to eat a lot more hot food.
I guess, huh?
Yeah, you get used to it.
My dad doesn't even eat hot stuff like you. He used to go to, remember you go to Chi Chi's and you can ask him for the super hot salsa? Of course, Chi Chi's hasn't been around for how long now? Probably over 20 years now. Chi Chi's was just a little bit better than Taco Bell. Let's just face it.
Well, I mean, Chi Chi's wasn't really a fast food restaurant. It was.
No, it wasn't. But it certainly wasn't as good as eating it in a mom and pop local Mexican restaurant. Eating your fried ice cream.
Your fried. Yeah, so did Chi Chi's have a problem in wait, so where did you used to see a Chi Chi's? Was that in Ohio or was that when you lived in Pennsylvania?
We've had them in Ohio and in Pennsylvania too.
Did they have a problem in Ohio? Like were the Chi Chi's around our area had like hepatitis crap and all sorts of stuff?
Yep. They had that actually. I think that's why they went bankrupt, if I remember right. Here's something where I looked this up. When they closed, guess who their parent organization was? Hormel.
Chi Chi's?
That's what it says.
Interesting.
Now, granted, you can buy their salsas and stuff in the grocery store now. That's all they have. That's all that's left of them.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. But wait, were they owned by Hormel before they went under and was selling their salsa in the store?
You know what? That's actually a good question now that you think about it.
So, Joe, get this, right? You there?
Get what? Yeah, I'm here.
So, I noticed that Visor had a Linux application, and it goes to a GitHub site that has app images. So I love app images because they're so easy to use, right? I pull it down and fire up the app image, and it kind of starts out just like the Chrome desktop one, but it doesn't let me connect through the USB. It wants to connect through an IP address of the Android device. And that's kind of interesting because I'm like, on the Android device, the Visor doesn't show me an IP address.
Well, you should be able to find it through your router.
How do you find an IP address on Android? Like, it should show me its IP address somewhere, right?
Do you have
the time to terminal installed? I don't think I have a terminal installed.
Termux or.
But it's interesting. Like, how there's got to be a way to see your network. You know, I bet you it's under like status or something, isn't it? About phone, maybe. You know what? I have a. Oh, there it is. It is under there. Check that out. Let me see if that works.
Yeah, there's an app image and a snap.
This is odd. The Windows version of it, it's only 32-bit.
Of what?
A Visor client. That's if you don't want to put the browser extension.
Let me see this. What the hell is this thing that opened up? Asking me about installing games. No. Alright. So why didn't it send it down? I don't know. Anyway, you were saying, Joe?
No? I'm saying it.
Oh, I'm still here. Huh. I'm just looking to... Well, they have the Snap and the app image on the website.
Yeah, I'm trying the app image, but I'm running into a problem with it. Like, it wants me to connect via IP address.
And then did you entered in the IP address of the device and it didn't work?
Yeah, no, it didn't work. It doesn't have, like, I have it connected, but it tells me, like, ADB not running. So maybe I need to get ADB running.
Well, you said it was working with the Chrome extension, right?
Yeah. And
which means ADB is running.
No, I don't have it. There's no ADB running.
Mine's pretty fuzzy, man.
I wonder if the Chrome extension like has that built in, like ADB.
No, ADB should be running on your phone.
Oh, yeah. Well, wait. But there's an ADB that you can install on the...
Yeah.
So it says ADB not running, and I'm wondering if it means ADB not running on my local machine where I'm running the application. I can see if that actually exists in the repos.
Fedora quality repos. Does not look good on my laptop.
Quality of what?
The screen.
Of... Wait, are you using Visor now too?
Yeah, I fired it up.
Oh. I mean, mine looked pretty damn good when I went through the Chrome browser. I just can't get it connected to... And I'm not spending much time mucking around with it either. Because Joe's got...
Oh, that's because unless you go to Visor Pro, it only uses a 500 kilobit bitrate.
How much is Visor Pro?
Good question. It is $2.50 a month.
A month? Oh, man. If it was like $2.50, I'd consider, you know, throwing some money at it from my
or $40 lifetime or 10 years or $10 for a year. Enterprise licensing is available. Make Gannett play for it, right? That wouldn't happen.
Oh, there we go. Pseudo yum install. Oh, wait! You should tell me, Joe. You should say, no, it's not pseudo yum installed. It's not it's DNF install Android tools. Yeah. I forget what DNF stands for. What is
DNFW?
I don't know. No, the
Yeah, Fedora's... I know DNF. But I don't remember what it means either.
Let's see. There's an article about it. But it doesn't say, it just calls it DNF. So it doesn't say what DNF is. What does DNF stand for? Dandified Yum. Wait. Okay, Dandified Yum.
That's stupid.
That makes sense.
Why does it make sense to you, Joe?
No, that was the point. It doesn't make sense.
Oh.
So dandified. What does dandified mean? Showing excessive concern about his clothes or appearance. As an adjective. Okay, so it shows...
Now, why is... See...
I get what it means.
See, Fedora changed Yum to DNF, and... Debian and... Well, I don't know if it's Debian, but I know Ubuntu has apt... get is now just apt, but it's... I don't know. What's the difference between the old school and the new school? I don't understand.
There isn't really a difference. All apt is a bunch of the other apt packages put together into one.
Is it? I don't want to say. Is it more than? It better be more than just an alias to apt-get.
Well,
I don't think it's a meta package of aliases. It's actual. Like, there's a little more involved. But go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
It's all of them put together.
Like, aren't they, So aren't they doing, like, when you have apt and you have DNF, what they actually do is they have to go out and they make it backward compatible by having, like, if you call apt get whatever, it just runs...
The old command's the an alias command. To the new command.
Yeah, the old command is alias. It's not like the new command is alias in some way to the old stuff. It's like the old stuff is alias, and that's pretty cool. So DNF, like, I'm like, I don't... DNF is such a weird, like, name for a tool. Like, apt get kind of makes sense. Like, apt install, application install, or whatever it is. This makes a little more sense. Like, Yum never made too much sense. I mean, I get it. It's Yellow Dog Update Manager. Like, is the acronym for that. But still, it was like... It caught on. I guess after many years of use, I have a hard time with DNF. Dandified Yum. All right.
Well, to me, DNF always stands for did not finish.
Did not finish.
Well, that's what it is. You know, when you DNF out of a race, that's what happens. You did not finish.
Well. So I like the fact that it's all like just kind of like DNF whatever. And then it's not like you have to use a bunch of different commands. Anyway, here we are talking out our ass again.
Like usual.
That's it. But so this is all harkens back to the Note 1. It's called the Note 10, right?
Yep.
And this USB hub that you were, C hub you were talking about getting.
Mm-hmm. It's also important to note, if I do get the Note 10 Plus, and it will be the Plus version, because probably one big thing with the Plus version is it allows you to upgrade the storage with a micro SD card. I don't know when I'll need to do that because it's coming with at least 256 gigs. So, you know, that's a lot of storage. I'm not even using I checked the other day on my Pixel 2, which is the 128 gig version. I'm not even using half of that. So, I don't know. We'll see what Google releases next week. And that's also the other thing, too. If Google has their announcement, and even if they are shipping phones, and they don't have a 5G version, I'm not buying it. I know I don't have 5G in Columbus yet, but whatever phone I get now, I'm hoping to keep all the way to the end of the contract. At a minimum, if not longer.
I'd be interested to hear, well, I guess you're going to tell us, like how well it's going to like translate to hooking this up like you were intending to a TV and then using a keyboard and a mouse, wireless keyboard and mouse.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great that you can have that capability, but it also would almost seem like, I'm like, how often are you going to be using a keyboard on True. that, like, in a way that you would be in a hotel room, like, hooked up to the TV, you'd probably be, like, in the bed or something, and it just seems like the distance and for typing something out might be a little awkward. I can see this, like you were saying, being awesome for playing Netflix or Roku channel or Hulu or whatever streaming, or YouTube even. And I'm like, that's pretty cool. But then it seems like have more of like a remote control interface instead of having to go all the way with a keyboard and mouse. Just like something you could just, like, it'd be perfect if you could just use your phone for this, right? And have it displayed on the TV.
Well, if you have like a second device, then you could do it that way.
But and then I'm like, well, isn't that just a Chromecast? To an extent.
Maybe it's that new Essential phone that they've been showing the last 2 days. You guys seen that yet?
Well, no, but what I'm saying is, then you get back to, you're like, well, can I just cast it to the TV? But then, you know, you got the whole keyboard and mouse thing if you wanted to do more than just what I don't know.
Can you use Netflix with a Chromecast?
Yeah. You can. Part of the problem, though, with like using a Chromecast in a hotel room is that in order to get a Wi-Fi connection, you have to usually fire up a browser, and there's no browser right. built in the Chromecast.
Right. Yeah, unless you want to get creative with a router.
Or, really? Yeah, or a pie hole or something.
I would have thought that they would have figured that out, like have a solution for that by now.
Yeah, because...
unless you can SSH into your Chromecast.
Well, I mean, I would have just thought that Google would have, like, a solution for that. Or maybe they don't want to do that because then that takes away revenue from the hotel for people instead of, like, using a Chromecast to mm-hmm. Chromecast porn in or whatever. They have to... Who rents porn from the TV anyway anymore, right? I mean, what's
now,
the point?
And it's... Some hotels are kind of getting smart in that, like, I was at a Marriott in Pasadena, specifically it was a Residence Inn, and they had a thing where basically you can sign into your Netflix account or your YouTube account right on the TV, and you didn't have to deal
Why
with it.
Why would you do that?
Because you can have it set that it automatically signs you out on checkout.
Uh-huh. And you believe
you
it, right?
Or you can just sign it out. Of course I do.
Right.
But it doesn't do them any good for my YouTube account because since that uses my Google Authenticator, it doesn't matter because they don't have the Authenticator. Anyway, the folks at Essential Phone, I don't know if any of you guys have ever seen Essential Phone. They brought out, well... these pictures of their new device, which looks like a phone, but in the format of a TV remote. But it's actually a phone. It's not a TV remote. It just looks like a TV remote. Put the links in the IRC in the Mumble Chat, too. It's called Project Gem. And I am not exactly sure... if I would go for something like this, because it just, I don't know. Thoughts?
Uh,
I like that it's small.
It looks interesting. I mean, one thing I've never complained about my phone was, hey, if only it was half the size.
Yeah.
You know? So,
I see, with me getting, you know, with me getting up in age, you know, I'm sitting here, actually, I never did switch from my computer glasses today back to my bifocals, but I'm either wearing bifocals or my computer glasses. My eyes are shit.
No, I hear you on that. I look at this and I'm like, yeah, I guess.
For me, the bigger the screen, the better. So 6.8-inch Note 10 Plus, yeah.
You know, so this is going to roll into another like issue that I have. But, you know, first and foremost, I can't imagine trying to view web pages on this thing. Like,
I know, right?
Like, there's a lot of times when a site just, in this day and age, doesn't have a decent mobile version of their site, and that is terrible enough. Even the mobile version ones, like, when they start throwing ads on there, oh, it's an awful experience. And then cut that in half? Wow, that seems terrible. But, you know, terrible experience. I'm like, I've gotten so sick of every site that I go to is like, disable ad blocker, disable ad blocker, disable ad blocker. Mm-hmm. Like, 'cause they check that now. And then finally I'm like, all right, fine. I got rid of ad blocker. And now everything is shit again. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm looking at a web page and I'm scrolling down and then this ad just scrolls up and blocks it. And I can't, like, it's in my way. I can't scroll anymore. I have to actually get and scroll back up a little bit to find the button to close the ad.
Right.
Well, now, that's why I put an ad block on for shit like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's like I was playing the old Plants vs. Zombies game, which that's been out for how long now? Probably 10 years now. Anyway, loaded it on my phone. I'm sitting there playing it, and there's a fucking ad. There's a fucking ad. I saw in a 5-minute period, I saw a Root Insurance ad 3 times.
Would you pay for the app?
No, I didn't pay for the app.
Well, there you go, right?
It is freemium, so, you know, hey.
Do they have an option to pay for the app?
Yeah, you can pay $3 and it disables ads, so.
Hey, you know, I will respect a couple of dollars, you know, again, depending on the game, you know, I'm like, I wouldn't pay $19 for Plants vs. Zombies anymore.
No, but $2-3, yeah.
That's not bad. It's that if Plants vs. Zombie was like, hey, how about a buck a month, and then you can play it all you want. And I'm like, hell no. Like, what was that? The visor? Was it the visor service? Like $2 a month?
Yeah, $2.50 a month. Yeah.
I'm like,
I just saw an ad on Visor. I was testing it out again. And when I tried to play Netflix through Visor, it didn't actually give me the picture.
Oh, it did?
No.
You have to get the pro version, I guess, huh?
Just Chromecast.
I guess that's what it is.
They need to bring out a version of Chromecast that'll let when it does a connect, like a hotel version of Chromecast, you know?
Yeah.
You know what all this talk reminds me of, Joel? The perfect device, the Jide. The Jide tablet, baby. That was a dream. That was living life. That was.
Hey, you should try out the Dell Venue 11 Pro 7130.
That was awfully specific.
Yeah.
Not the 7140. Not the 7139.
Not the 7139.
Why would you say try that out?
Because it has replaceable parts in it, and it runs Linux very well.
Oh, you think you got a point there, huh?
Because you can change out the Wi-Fi Bluetooth card in it and pick one that actually works.
The Venue Pro, that's an 11-inch tablet?
Yes.
Okay, comes out of the box with Windows 8.1. Yay. Probably 10 by now.
Yeah, you can put 10 on there. And it's got a fairly decent processor in it. I think it scores like 2,500 on Passmark.
Core i5,
if you get the i5 version. There's the i5 version and the i3 version. And I think mine is the 8 gigabyte version. It has 8 gigabytes of RAM.
256 gig of storage, though?
You can replace that.
What? Wait.
I would.
What are you? Why are you turning down 256 gigs of storage? That's
on
like more storage than I have on my system.
On a tablet, yeah. That's a lot.
What are you putting on that tablet?
You could put Linux on it.
No, I obviously that's what I mean. But like, what are you going to be chucking on that tablet? You're going to need more than 256 gigabytes.
And besides that, you can also put micro SD cards in it.
Actually, 256 gigs with Linux would be great. With Windows, it's not.
Well, why would you leave Windows on it?
True.
I didn't know that was an option.
Something small like that, yeah.
It's like when you buy a phone, you don't keep that little plastic cover on it. You get rid of the garbage. Yeah.
Well, it depends. If you have a Note 10, you do keep it on there because that's actually a screen protector.
A proper screen protector.
It is.
Only with the Note 10 have I seen that.
Right. It's glass, right, isn't it?
No, it's a soft screen protector, but yeah.
Well, wait a minute. What happens when the screen protector gets scratched? How do you replace it?
You peel it off and
put a new one on.
Oh, so they come with a screen. So it actually
there's
is
one pre-attached.
Okay. I thought it was like some like, hey, we have a screen, but then we're going to throw like our screen protector on top of it. So then you'd have to get a screen protector for the screen protector, because if you scratch it, then you can't replace it. Which is
they just gave you the first screen protector for free.
Well, that's nice. No. I'm not used to that kind of behavior.
The one you don't want to ever peel off is the one that's on the Galaxy Fold.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm used to the idea of, hey, here's the phone. We'll say the screen protector for $35.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, there's plenty of that.
Yeah, I'm like, whoa, they actually give you a screen protector with the phone?
Now,
in my America, not that I remember.
Now, what kind of case, did you get a case for yours?
The first one came with the phone.
I got a case for mine, but I got it from Amazon. It's a Spigen.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm gonna go.
Wait, is this for your phone, or do you have a Venue?
No. Oh, I have a phone, and I have a Venue, and I don't have a case for that. I just use the keyboard.
I found a Toraz branded Galaxy Note 10 Plus case for $15.99, and it's got a clear back on it.
Yeah, I love my 7130.
Wait, why are you buying a case, Joel? You could just print yourself one.
I don't know. Is there even one on Thingiverse?
I mean, there's got probably. I can't imagine there wouldn't be.
Like, I'd have to unload my PLA and put my TPU back in.
A popular phone wouldn't be on Thingiverse, but you could probably find, like, I don't know, a mold of Clifford the Big Red Dog's dong.
Why would you want to do that?
I don't know. They were selling them on Amazon. Remember when we looked those up? Or Joe did? Sorry.
I don't remember looking that up.
That was a long time ago. That was many episodes.
There's a note. What's a drawing case? Note 10 Plus drawing case. Oh, it's a case to help with withdrawing when using the Note 10 Plus. Okay, that's not exactly what I was looking for. Yeah, because the actual case design only has a hole for the port on the bottom for the USB-C. It doesn't have one for the stylus silo. Granted, I don't know if you have to spell plus out or if it's a plus sign to find the cases.
You know what? I can't be looking for this on Amazon again, because it's going to... Oh, God. It's going to, like, leave history.
50 gallons of lube.
Kids are going to go in and see I'm looking. What, Dad? What's Daddy looking for? That's not appropriate.
That's why you need a family account, right?
I'm on the family account. That's why I can't use the family account. That's a terrible idea. Don't search for stupid stuff like that on the family account.
See, I'm always picky with cases. My Pixel 2 XL, I never found a good case for it. I never really liked anything I found. I did print one. I didn't like it either. Strangely enough, I don't find an STL for the Note 10 Plus. Note 9.
Well, it's not out yet, is it? Or is it out?
Yeah, it's been out.
Is it out?
Yeah,
I'm surprised.
Yeah, Joe has one.
Oh. Man, Joe's got it all. He's got a Venue, he's got a Note 10 Plus.
But if you get lucky, you can get the Venue for $125.
Yeah, it's just like the prices go from like $119 $250.
Well, there is a flip cover where basically I guess you could print the bottom out of TPU and the top out of PLA. That's the other thing, too. The color I want, Verizon doesn't have. The blue one.
Will they only sell certain colors to certain carriers?
I guess. Verizon has the black, the Aura Glow, or I believe the other one's gold, if I remember right.
I hate that love shit. Why do they make it such a pain in the ass? You know, like why can't you just get any color like you Apple? Want?
Yeah, you can get product red or the green one for Apple on any carrier. It doesn't matter. Let me see. I need to see what colors they really have. The worst part is, though, now if I want a cheaper monthly payment on a phone, then I have to pay for it over 36 months versus 24.
Or pay more up front.
Yeah, there's that, too. Now, granted, at least with Samsung, I believe they also have trade-in deals, so when the next version comes out, you can trade it in, too. Yeah, you get... On Verizon, I get the choice of Aura Glow, Aura White, or Aura Black, which I'll probably go with the Glow because I've had a white phone for a while. The black one is just too generic looking to me. But the blue one, I've seen the blue one in a couple places, a couple YouTube videos, and it is sharp, the blue one. You got a black one, right, Joe?
Yeah, I got the black one, but the wife got the multicolored one.
The glow, or a glow.
The glow, yeah, whatever the hell it is.
And in the 5G variant, Verizon only shows, well, I'm wondering if it's just because it's not in stock, but the 256 gig version is the only one in stock, which that's fine. I'm fine with that as long as I got the slot. Then I can save up for a 512 gig micro SD card to put in there.
There's an STL for the Note 10 Plus case.
Let's see if that's the one I found.
Not the flip one.
Oh. That's not too bad. At least it's got some holes in the back to kind of show the color through a little bit. I don't like the TPU color I have right now. I only have this blue one. It's okay, but it's just not what I would like.
Eh, just order some glow in the dark.
We gotta wrap up the show. I gotta get up tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's getting late.
So
either that or I'm just getting old.
Yeah, somebody record the show next week. I will not be here.
Joel's got it.
Got it.
Me or Joe or Pat will get it.
Someday. If we can find anything to talk about.
There you go.
I'm sure we will.
But enjoy.
Because I should have my new phone by then, too.
Yeah, so enjoy your week and enjoy the fall weather that's blowing in.
Oh, one more tidbit for the show. Took my car to get the rear passenger side door actuator is on the Fritz. So you hit the buttons to unlock the doors and it doesn't unlock or lock on the first try. You have to hit it a couple times. So I took it over to the dealership to get it worked on. Hadn't changed oil while I was there. Didn't get fixed. You know why? GM's on strike, dude. So I asked them, you don't have any idea when the part will get here? Well, it's ordered. We won't charge you anything because it's still under warranty until the end of the month. And I'm like, all right.
Well, you only got a warranty until your warranty's up at the end of the month?
Have you started getting those extended warranty calls?
I actually haven't yet, but no. The bumper to bumper that I currently have runs out at the end of the month. I actually might consider paying to extend that bumper to bumper a little bit. like powertrain and all that's still covered. So like the engine, all the really expensive shit is covered.
Oh, that's good.
Except for the tires. The tires, I'm not looking forward to replacing tires on this when that comes time. Fortunately, it's a ways away, but I'm betting it's probably going to be close to $800 at least. Because those things have, that thing has pretty big wheels. So, but warranties are good on car things that are damn expensive. It's also why I pay for the insurance on my phone.
There you go. That's cool, man. Get that. I hope that comes in. Get it in there.
Yeah, we'll see. They said, well, they might randomly start send some parts out here and there, but until the strike's over, we can't really say how long it'll be for sure. Dun, dun, dun. At least it will be covered if it goes past the end of the month, though, since I had the problem before and it wasn't my fault. Nobody posted a make on that one, dude.
What's going on? All right, I gotta
have a good
place out. Here we go.
Yep.
Thanks
a lot. I'll talk to y'all later.
Have a safe week. Boom.
Oh my God.
It's Hacker Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community.
you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Open source, Linux, computers, electronics, science, and amateur radio. We cover it all. Who are we? We are Linux in the Ham Shack, the podcast that brings you and your technology together with the power of software freedom. Drop us in your favorite podcatcher or join us every other Tuesday night for the interactive live show. Visit LHSpodcast.info for all the details, news, and information. We are Linux in the Ham Shack, and we want to open your mind.
Hi, folks, this is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Honky Magoo 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, /Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. But join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making it for young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Dun 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 dun.
Yeah. I think I'm going to make some beef stew tomorrow.
There you go. In the air fryer?
Yeah, probably my... you know what? I don't know if I'm going to make it in the crock pot or if I'm going to do it in my Instant Pot. Crock pot, I can just throw it together in the morning, and then by the time I get off work, it'll be done.
That's cool.
Onions, some garlic, some carrots, and potatoes. I'd usually just throw it all in a pot. I don't cook any one part first. I just throw it all in and then just cook it.
Yeah, I have to do that soon. I got some beef shank I got to get used up.
I probably want to go get some. Sometimes I'll just do water, but the last few times I made beef stew, I've just gotten like a... some beef stock if I don't have any or I didn't make any, and then just put that in it.
That's one thing I have shitloads of stock here. I gotta make some stock again soon. So I got a ton of stock. Oh crap, you gotta burn through it. I gotta stop the recording. Oh, say goodnight,
stop
Joel.
The recording. Goodnight, Joel. You can plug your phone into the TV and have a full desktop. And then, of course, you can run Netflix and whatnot right off your phone. And the nice thing is since your phone can probably hop on the Wi-Fi for the hotel, no problems there. You can stream Netflix to your TV.
You know what? The only downside I see to this, right? And it's not really that much of a downside. But in order to do anything, like if you want to change to another TV channel or another channel or watch a different video on Netflix, you actually have to get up and like walk over to the TV and do it on your phone.
Nope.
Cause...
Nope.
What do you
mean no? Got a wireless keyboard.
Wireless keyboard and mouse.
Oh, it comes with a wireless keyboard and mouse?
No.
No, I already have one.
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, I guess that's right. I guess you could do that. But, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have a Logitech K400 I bought a while ago that still works great. So that and the adapter would fit my suitcase just fine. Kind of the nice thing I've read about, at least with the DeX app, which is not an option for Linux users, is when you plug it into your computer, you can drag pictures right off the DeX app onto your desktop.
Yeah, but I expect we're going to see other applications coming up soon that do something very similar.
I can't imagine it would be that difficult to port something to Linux to make the DeX desktop work on Linux, but...
Well, Visor is similar.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you've tried that or not.
There's other things too, like I forget the name of the one that there's one that was specifically just basically gave a web interface, and I can't remember the name of it.
You know what?
AirDroid?
I don't mean to be an a-hole, but well, you should be saving this for the show.
Well, this is
you're
pre-show.
Already recording.
Yeah, but this is good stuff. Because I have questions, but I'm like, well, I should just save them for the damn show.
Look, freaking start it already. 3, 2, 1, go.
Oh, hold on.
Oh, wait, you're not ready.
What is that crazy concoction? Oh, all right.
And I had a McRib yesterday, and it was good.
Aren't they made out of racers?
Right. Made out of pork, dude. Didn't you see Great Imahara's video on it?
The other white meat.
Dun, dun, dun. And then I had Chick-fil-A today. Because I like Chick-fil-A.
You know, I remember McRibs tasting a lot better than they actually do. For some reason,
yeah,
like
they're disgusting.
It's called nostalgia, dude. That's why.
Yeah, I'm like every time I haven't had a McRib.
To me,
in a
it still tastes
years.
Good.
It's and the pork. Yeah. It's the pork equivalent of a chicken McNugget.
Yeah,
essentially,
and,
yeah.
Boiled, like, covered in barbecue sauce.
You can get
oh,
one
yeah,
at the dollar store right now, can't you? Dollar General.
Actually,
no, Family Dollar.
I've gotten the Encore. Ones and they're actually very, very, very close. So very close, actually. Just throw some onions and some pickles on it, and you got it with a nice roll. And I wrote some PowerShell this week, Dan.
I'm sorry to hear that.
No, it was fun. Actually very fun. Now I gotta figure out how to add a line that copies some stuff up to S3.
Alright.
WinSCP?
Amazon? AWS S3?
No.
I don't think...
Well, you should be able to SCP to S3, right?
No. You know what? No, I don't think so.
No. Well, wait.
Show.
What do you mean by SCP to S3?
Secure copy.
What? But to where?
To an S3 bucket.
S3
See, I don't know, so I'm asking.
There are PowerShell extensions, and there should be is a way to do a AWS command line command. To get
so,
to accomplish it.
To answer your question, Joe, you could, if you had an instance that had the bucket attached, then you could SCP
yes.
it up to that instance and an amount point where the bucket is. But generally, you would have like either a service account or you would have, depending on how you have your authentication set up with AWS.
We have to have keys too.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, your keys, whatever. There's SDKs out there for whatever you're using. So PowerShell has a way to connect to an S3 bucket. I think I forget what the Amazon tool is, but I'm so used to Google now because I haven't done it with Amazon. It's like S. There's a
AWS S3CP.
Yes, that's there's that. Wait, that's secure copy, right?
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, it probably is. Yeah.
So yeah, so if you wanted like the command line, you'd have to use that tool. If you wanted like part of the SDK, yeah. So yeah, to answer your question, you could, but it's not just SCP. You got to use like the AWS tool.
Yep. For that. Yeah, and also I would basically copy everything but the latest zip file to S3. And then that way, if for some reason the latest zip file wasn't good enough for what we needed it for, we can go back to the bucket and get it.
You know what? Also, if I'm not mistaken, you could probably just mount the S3 bucket. Or are you limited to only in mounting it in Google, and not in Google, in AWS?
Because we have AWS, and these are going from AWS instances, so it should work.
No, what I was thinking is, like, can you mount an S3 bucket to your, like, laptop or desktop at home? And I'm trying to remember whether you can do that. I never tried it.
I think you might be able to.
But generally, if I was going to interact with an S3 bucket, I would do that with AWS tools.
I think I've seen some fuse mounts for S3 buckets. I never paid much attention because I've never worked with S3.
Yeah, but I don't know what my options are.
There is a fuse module for it.
For all I know, one of the things I need to do is I need to go dig through our. We have a Confluence page where we document a lot of stuff. I need to dig through there and see if somebody's already got the Confluence stuff on S3 documented for our instances. Because it might be something that simple. I would just have to go find. Oh, there it is.
Sounds like more show content to me.
Wait.
Yeah, all right. Let's start the show.
Kick a freaking pig, man.
Let's talk about how we should talk about the other stuff you were talking about on the show, and then we turn around and talk about this stuff before the show starts. What the hell?
Well, that you know what? That means people shouldn't listen to the podcast. They should listen to the streams, or at least
do we have a live stream?
Yeah, we have a live stream.